Welcome back, everybody, to a very, very mediocre episode of Brainstorm Brewery. Why is it mediocre, you ask?
Because I'm Corbin's on!
I'm getting ahead of the jokes by saying it myself. Anyways, I know everyone missed me last week, but I'm back. It's Brainstorm Brewery,
everyone.
And we have a guest this week.
Hi.
DJ!
Oh.
Yeah, that joke's not dead at all.
True, we do have DJ as a guest, but we have a better guest. Rob, a patron, welcome to the cast, man. What's up?
Hi, it's cool to be here.
Is it?
Yeah, as I understand it, you have been unlucky enough to know Jason Alt for a long time. Is that true?
That is true.
I'm sorry.
And there's nothing he can say to me on this cast that I haven't been told probably to my face, so... Like, you know, come at me,
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, you get used
to it
after a
while. He's a bad friend.
Yeah, no.
One time he made me leave my car at the bar.
Oh, God. How many times? Too many? The time you threw up in my car when I made you leave your bar? Or when I made you leave your car at the bar?
These are the kind of stories we need around here. I like it. You're getting ahead of DJ already.
He made me drink water.
They did regale us with tales of two-headed giant before this cast started.
Yeah, beat you now.
I mean, that's okay. I was never good at magic, so.
Yeah. Rob was like, dude, I went 2-7 with a Biorhythm deck at regionals.
Hey, that Biorhythm win was one of the greatest wins of my entire career. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, because round one he got paired up with some dude from Team RIW and just dream crushed him, and then he, like, 1-7 the rest of the tournament, and that RIW dude missed top 16.
You know what the worst part is? That's, like, my home store, too. So, like, I get crushed all the time. It's rough. My F&Ms are rough.
Is this where DJ says something about tell me more about the war?
No.
Okay, good. Just checking. Anyways, welcome to the show, Rob. So what's your deal with magic? How did you end up coming onto this podcast? Because I cannot imagine that Jason doesn't have some sort of, you know, compromising material on you to force you into this.
Oh, there's no details. I just thought it would be, you know, this is like not work for me. This is purely... this is just me experimenting with podcasting. Like, this is a vacation. So,
well, good. Well, hopefully you enjoy it. If you're here and you can make fun of Jason, you're doing the right thing already. That's a step one to podcasting successfully.
Yeah.
Am I going to get 3-on-1 tag teamed here? Is that what's going to happen this episode?
No, actually, unfortunately, I'm probably going to take your side for something because I'm an idiot. But
quick, Rob, grab his thumbs.
That's how I restrain my daughter.
So, Rob, are you a standard player, commander player, legacy player? What's old school? What's your deal, man?
He plays vintage Power Surge Mana Barbs.
That sounds very viable deck.
First of all, that deck, if it was still viable, would still be awesome. No,
if
like,
it was good, it would be good. Is that what you just said? Yep.
No, like online, I play vintage and legacy, and then I don't play a whole lot in paper anymore, other than commander. And then like I collect vintage and legacy. And
wow, you're like an actual collector of this game.
Yeah, no, I'm an actual collector. At some point, I decided to not put all of my stuff in player stuff and started going into like high end and graded.
No, that's really cool. So what do you have? I mean, do you have any, what's your, you know, your, the item you're most proud of as a collector?
I don't know. I've got some like BGS 9.5s and 10s of like alpha. I don't know. I don't want to get too deep onto what
no,
I actually
that's
have.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Corbin wants to rob your house.
So.
He does.
I don't know how known I am within like the actual collector community. So like, you know, sometimes being on the down low for some of that stuff is,
yeah,
is a benefit.
Sure. Sure. I mean, so do you recommend that people, you know, get stuff graded? It seems like you have experience with this as a collector. I mean, is getting stuff graded when it's older like that usually worth it or not?
Only if it's absolutely mint and you think it's going to come back a 9 or higher, because basically if it's like a 7 to an 8.5, you're going to get basically just mint retail and it's not mm-hmm. going to be of any benefit. But then if you get anything, if you get a 9 or higher, you get some bumps. And then if it comes back even higher than that, you know, you get even more money. But then you have to find somebody to buy it, which isn't necessarily easy either.
Right. I imagine the actual community for, say, a high-end, you know, graded 9.5 something is relatively small, since they can't even pretend that they're going to play with it.
No.
Do you think we're still at a time where if you were inclined to do something like that, you'd have a better time just trying to buy copies of the card and get one close and get it graded yourself rather than buying a slabbed one?
Yeah, if you want to take a shot at it. Most of the websites, at least with the early stuff, are pretty good about their mint is like, it's going to come back an 8.5 or higher, because nobody's going to mess around with that type of stuff, because that's what you're paying for. But,
sure.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like even the Alpha Commons have finally corrected. Like, most of them are now above 10 or 15 bucks. So it's kind of rough. But, like, I know a bunch of 9.5s just ended on eBay today, and they were all $100+. So, for commons.
Just for commons?
Mostly for commons, yeah.
In Alpha. How many Alpha Commons really were there?
Well, we know that. That's known information.
Right? Yeah, it's like 140,000 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Relatively few.
Yeah, and, you know, if those still exist.
It's pretty nuts.
A lot of Alpha Commons. It's like every time I buy a collection, there was like a year where every collection I bought, this dude is like, I just wanted to have one Alpha card so I have a Holy Strength. I was like, yeah, that's cool, I don't care. He was like super proud of it. I was like, you have foil dazes, why are you so proud of this? But whatever. So I would just randomly just get Alpha and I didn't know what to do with them, so I just hung on to them, and they've
yeah I mean it's not like
quadrupled.
Anyone's gonna walk into the store and buy your Alpha Unholy Strength that's, you know, MP, right? I've had that problem where I have some Alpha stuff now that's just sitting at my house because nobody actually wants Alpha stuff except for a collector, and then they don't want your beat up one.
Yep. All the value's theoretical.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then your beat up stuff, you know, just put it in your commander deck or whatever if it's a viable card, because it's...
but it's probably not.
Yeah, I've got all the beat-up Alpha Swamps in Gonti. I've got, like, 30-something HP Alpha Swamps that I use in my Gonti deck, because everything in the Commander deck is heavily played or damaged. So, I've just got...
You just wanted to have the trolliest Commander deck. I've seen some of that stuff, but I didn't realize how bad it was.
Oh, the Mana Rocks are great. The Mana Rocks are...
Those chainers were hot. And...
Yeah. I got these in a collection. Okay.
Some of them are just like unreadable.
Those
you played it
from black and white bordered Chainer's Edicts that look like they went through the wash in someone's
lightly playable.
Some of DJ's Mana Rocks were just so unreadable. I would just get tilted playing against it. I think. I don't know, because DJ bailed on me in Toronto.
You bailed on me.
Good. I wouldn't want to play with you either.
You never responded to my texts.
Oh, it was one of those two.
You never responded to my texts.
Well, whoops.
We have the proof.
That's quite the apology.
We'll never know the truth.
Well, DJ sucks. Actually, you're garbage. Well, that's a different opinion. We may never know what happened.
I have the records.
The record will show. The record will show that DJ went to bed early, and I.
The record will show that you texted me. That you never texted me.
That sounds kind of like. Mister, I drink root beer on the podcast. Was he go to bed at 9:30?
I texted you at like 10 o'clock, 10:15.
I think I met them at like 11.
What did you say?
I got my feety pajamas on. Are we playing EDH or what?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I went and met with them at like 11.
No.
I was working.
You doing anything post dinner? Question mark.
We were supposed to be with
at 8:44 p.m.
This is
and then at 10:09 p.m. We just got back from dinner. I sent you that text. And then you never sent me anything.
Well, Jeremy and Travis and I hung out, and you weren't there because I guess you were just that lame. Anyways, moving on. Let's do Breaking Bulk. We'll let the guests go first.
Which guest?
That was a real rapid transition.
It's so you don't let DJ get another word in. That's how it works.
That was jarring.
So in this case, is DJ the guest or am I the guest?
Well, you're both the guests.
Can't you both?
We'll let you go first as the first guest and not the sub guest.
All right. I was actually in the LGS and I noticed that they had a artifact from Saviors of Kamigawa.
Hakyo?
What's the rarity?
Uncommon.
The shuriken?
No, that's Betrayers.
No, I mean the actual shuriken card, like the equipment thing. The one where it's like...
No, that's not it.
Okay. That was Manrique. That was from Betrayers. Okay. No.
Yeah, it's not Manrique either. No, Saviors.
It's not Nodachi.
Nagata.
Oh, Naginata.
Oh, Naginata is the card.
Yeah, yeah, Naginata.
Oh, that's I did it.
Yeah, like,
in the sense that I have no idea how to pronounce it, but
didn't realize that's like over $2 retail. Like, that's crazy. So that seems like a pretty good pick.
Yeah, basically, if you don't know how to say the words on a Kamigawa card, it's probably worth like $1.50.
Yeah, but who's running Onaginata?
Really
look it up. Players.
Yeah, Zergo, Helm Smasher, Kalemna, Disciple of Iroas.
Yeah, okay,
all right, I'm just going to read this card because, okay, it's one mana equipment that equips for two. Onaginata can be attached only to a creature with three or more power. Equipped creature gets +3/+0 and has trample.
Yeah, I agree. That's just kind of a random piece of equipment, I guess.
I mean, it's the cheapest bang for your buck when you get to that. Like, you don't want a paper
it's
warning,
just
right?
One of those you play it in your SRAM deck and draw a card for one mana.
And no reprints.
I guess it's a Kimba thing also.
No reprints.
Kimba,
This was the Manrique Gusari set. For what it's worth. So it could have been that one too.
That's worth nothing.
Yeah, that was good.
Manrique.
Wasn't Onaginata also in like a Plane Chase or something, right?
No, that card has no reprints.
No, I think Savior's just the only printing.
You might be thinking of Nodachi. Okay.
There you go.
Are you thinking Tenza Godo's Maul?
I don't know, man.
Nah, that's a rare, isn't it?
I think Nodachi was the
Tenza was uncommon. I don't think that was printed anywhere else. You're thinking Chisurigama or Nekote or all. I don't know. I'm just saying words now.
I don't know. Which one's in the rat's nest? I probably got 40 of them sitting in a box somewhere.
Oh, man. That was Rob and my first foray into MPG finance.
I think DJ's right. Nodachi is the one I'm thinking of.
Rob and I used to drive around to Meijer late at night asking them to go in the back and get their cases of the
Nodachi
Savior's decks so we could get the rat's nest out and just buy those. And then they got pissed off.
Yeah, but hey, whatever. It made us a lot of money.
$13 for a GTA, a foil land, and then a bunch of crap you just put on eBay.
Yeah, but all those cards now that I still have probably that I probably need to bulk out are sitting in a box somewhere in my basement.
A lot of patron of the Nizumi.
Yeah, that's, yeah, well.
Throat slitter, you know. Probably.
Keep
too.
A gang.
Can't
Shinobi.
Win them all.
All right, I've got a.
You mean you're breaking bulk?
Well, last time I picked a couple of
we're doing
basic
breaking
lands.
Bulk. Though.
You said.
As long as it doesn't take as long as last week when DJ's like, this is part of a cycle, and
time.
It was a basic island. Go.
It's part of a cycle.
Was it the Lorwyn, the Shadowmoor Island, or Lorwyn?
You wouldn't know.
It was
just
shards.
It
was like, it's part of a partial.
It was the chippy
and
one.
Ryan was like, I know what it is.
It was the
and
chippy
was like,
three.
Oh, yeah,
it was the chippy Asper cycle.
Let me guess, he didn't.
Yeah, I have no idea what Ryan thought it was. DJ's like, it's a land, and it's part of a partial cycle, and Ryan's like, yeah, I got this. Man, that was a good episode you missed.
My first one is, based off the whole thing with the Torment decks that I bought, and, like, each one comes with a foil basic.
Oh, Jesus.
Is it the Lightning Plains?
It's the, no, yeah, Plains.
Oh, it's not the Lightning
233?
Plains?
It's not the Lightning Plains.
It's the other one, it's 233.
It's not a Plains.
What? It's not a Plains?
Is it the mountain?
Then it's
not a mountain.
It's the forest, then. Whatever, you
wait,
sure
where was the Ewok forest? Is that Invasion?
No, DJ, well, I saw you posted on Twitter. Yep. You tweeted a receipt for lands you were buying. So whatever's in your tweet.
No, it's the one that I sold. I sold them on TCG.
Oh, you sold a land for $6 on TCG Player?
I sold a foil Odyssey base, two foil Odyssey basics for $6 a piece. It's this one. It's forest number 349 from Odyssey. It's got a nice little autumn scene in it. It's, the non-foil's like $1. Corbin typing with his monster hands.
Trakasaurus.
$349.
All right, which one is it?
Forrest, he does what? Have big old ogre mitts, doesn't he? Corbin is what a lesbian would call well hung.
Is that the one with like Ewok village in the background?
So here's the thing though. This is kind of cool, I guess. Here's what I do with these lands from these sets. I actually just pull all the basic lands from these sets and then sort them and look them up, because a lot of lands from back around this time period can actually be worth 50, 75 cents, and you can get something on a buy list for them.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of older players who have sentimental value towards the old border, specific old border art lands.
This isn't a breaking bulk pick as much as it is DJ blowing himself, but I'll allow it. Do you have another pick?
I do have another pick. New Phyrexia.
I mean, to be fair, I do think
New Phyrexia common.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning. I mean, some of these, there are a lot of like weird old border foil lands that are like worth a lot of money.
DJ could get a whole article out of this.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
All right. Did you say New Phyrexia common?
New Phyrexia green common. Go. It's pretty easy. Any more info gives it away.
Green common. Mutagenic growth.
Yeah, it's mutagenic growth.
That's uncommon. Oh.
No, it was common in Modern Masters. It was common in New Phyrexia, uncommon in Modern Masters.
That's how they got me.
$2 market price approximately. It's definitely gone up recently, partially because of Pauper, like Kiln Fiend.
It's a double gut shot.
Yeah, I mean, it just kills people in budget Pauper decks. It's played in budget Modern decks sometimes, like Infect's still kind of a thing. I mean, like, it's just a card that's really, really hard to reprint. I mean,
ooh, in fact, you're right. It's actually jumping as well right now. This is nice. I have a giant pile of them in my spec box because I basically grabbed all the... I think we've talked about this a long time ago, I guess now. My spec box is just full of Infect cards because it was just like the deck was full of so many commons and uncommons from like low opened sets, you know, like basically New Phyrexia. The Blighted Agent and the one drop Infect creature,
the elf,
growth, the Glistener Elf and the mutagenic growths and just all this stuff. And just, there were so many good Infect picks. And I just had them all sitting in my box, and I actually just sold last week to Card Kingdom, the like 75 Vines of Aswad I had, because I was getting like 50 cents on them or something good. I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was enough that I finally decided to get rid of them. So this is good to know. It just shows that, you know, sometimes your spec box, your box of shame can... I mean, they've been sitting in there for a long time, but at the same time...
There is no box of shame. There is only long-term specs.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of... I've been pulling mutagenic growths out of collections for years, and I've got a bunch of them in there. And hey, it's going to actually finally pay off. I thought I was going to get completely blown out by the reprint, but...
I found the 40 Chainer's Edicts I was too lazy to list online a year ago.
Woo! Nice. That's a good one.
the 40 gushes. Yeah, being lazy has really paid off. Thanks, Popper. Hey, I got one. It's an enchantment from Origins, and it's a blue
Sphinx's
uncommon.
Sphinx's tutelage. Yawn. Boring.
It's not necessary.
Of course it is.
Not necessarily Sphinx's tutelage.
I think that's like the only blue enchantment and uncommon in that entire set. So
from Origins.
Yeah.
I'm going to look right
is
now.
Is that another... Is there...
I love it. I hadn't even processed what Jason said to start thinking about the set.
That's a rare.
That's a rare. Was it really not?
I bet you, fam. Don't worry. Let's find out. Okay, that's also the Joinin's Elite set, and then nothing else is worth any money.
there's a few other cards from this set.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
Origins.
Pick, like, Thopter Engineer. You pick, like, Shaman of the Pack.
The Caterpillar.
Yeah, Caustic Caterpillar,
like,
yes. Pick.
Caustic Caterpillar.
Caustic Caterpillar is only like a quarter. Like, that's played in like competitive EDH.
I get nickels for Caterpillar.
It's 15 cents, as a matter of fact. You get a nickel for it, yeah. But yeah, in terms of commons and uncommons in that set, Sphinx's Tutelage is $1.75, whatever. Dwinen's Elite is $1.25. The next most expensive one is the Emblem from Liliana. Ooh. Followed by Mind Rot.
So Origins is bad. Mind Rot, that's like the 49th printing of Mind Rot.
Yep. And then two more emblems.
Yeah, there's other stuff I picked from that set. Like,
yeah.
I am aware that there are picks.
Shop of the Pack is looking good with Bloodbraid Elf, too, so that could be a thing.
I'm aware of the things you guys are saying. I'm just telling you what the list is. And Shaman of the Pact is 30 cents, so...
Ooh, that's because... Because it's like, yeah, it's
it was
in
an
one
Eternal Masters.
It's one EDH deck.
Well, sure, yeah, but also elves stopped running it. There was a time when elves was green, black, and modern. It was running four of Shaman of the Pact, and that's when it was worth.
Well, yeah, because you had the best green, black elf ever printed, Deathrite Shaman.
That card was not legal at that time.
Not then, no.
Really?
Yeah, that was a while ago, Jason.
Huh. But no, it was just that it was good because you could collect a company and it double Shaman of the Pact or whatever, and it just. You know, it's just like deals 6-7 points of damage. The same reason humans run Kessig Malcontents. But the issue is that you need white sideboard cards, essentially, for the deck's good. Like, the matchups for Shaman was good or whatever were already winnable. And you needed white sideboard cards to compete against a field. So elves have sort of gone back to being green-white rather than green-black, despite having Guiltleaf Palace and Shaman of the Pact.
Well, that's...
Listen to the modern expert, I guess.
I'm really sad you guys got mine in a matter of second.
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, it's also, like, if you've ever picked any bulk from Origins, you're like, holy crap, this set is garbage.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about Sphinx's Tutelage is when we talk about a lot of these picks, they're like 50 cents or whatever, and you're like, yeah, you're happy when you found them, but you need a good day to even get, like, a quarter on them. You usually get your 15 cents, and, you know, it's a good Breaking Bolt pick. But the nice part about Sphinx's Tutelage, and this is increasingly rare in sort of today's heavy reprint world, but it's like, you know, it's $1.50, $2. Like, it's actual little bit of money when you hit a playset of these and when you're going through bulk, right? All of a sudden you're adding up quarters at a time, right? And it's, you get $2-3 out of the playset of them, and that is just way different than what we usually talk about during this segment. And it used to be a lot more common, you know, 5 years ago. And then we talk, a lot of people, in my opinion, when we talk about the falling price of bulk, read into it that Magic's not as popular anymore, and that's why no one wants the cards. But in reality, there just aren't as many $2 uncommons anymore because of all the reprints. So that's why cards like Sphinx's Tutelage from a, you know, a modern set in terms of just when it came out, right? It's within the past few years. It's a nice little throwback.
Sure.
All right, I will go next. I have an Ixalan uncommon. And it surprised me how much this one is worth. It's blue. It's a blue Ixalan uncommon.
Is it the red Wakeite, whatever?
Blue Ixalan uncommon. The, is it a creature?
The one where you I don't know its name. The one where you attack and put a counter on it. The 1/2 flyer for blue. Siren Storm Raider?
No.
Siren Storm Tamer though? No. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so the interesting thing here is if you look at standard, Charter Course.
Yeah, didn't you? Let's
assess the spreadsheet that certain patrons get to use. September 25th. September 25th.
In my defense, I knew I had done it at some point, but that was also like 6 months ago, guys.
You're repicking it.
September 25th.
That's like
6 months
ago.
Pick a different
one. Nope.
That's 6 months ago.
Was Ixalan even legal 6 months ago? Come on.
Also, you haven't been on, like, any episodes,
so... Yeah, I think that's actually... That's super legitimate, because Siren Storm Tamer is not played in standard, and...
It's really, like, three episodes ago, because
it's like your third is 3 picks ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is, I mean, when you look at Ixalan, a lot of people think about the standard played cards, right? Opt and Charter Course and things like that, and this... The Siren Storm Tamer, for whatever reason, is actually worth more than both of those. So... I mean, let's be honest, the Ixalan bulk is at a different point now than it was back in September. And, you know, you're still going to find these in there and it's still worth money. And I think that that will come as a shock to a lot of people since the card didn't pan out in standard. So
what's playing?
Pirate Stompy.
That's exactly.
It's Pirate Stompy.
I mean, I guess it's got to be.
It's certainly not that it's a bad card. I mean, it is a 1-mana 1/1 flyer that can sacrifice a counter, a spell, or ability to target you or a creature you control. I mean, that's a lot of protection, to be honest. So I can see it getting played in a fair number of things, but yeah, it's just when we think about standard uncommons, it's basically, you know, they're busted in Commander, or they're busted in Modern, or they're busted in Standard, or bust. And Siren Storm Tamer kind of bucks the trend there. All right, so now this next segment is inspired by a story on our Patreon, Patreon Discord, anyways. If you give Jason his time, I'm not even gonna try, man. Do your thing.
Oh man, I was gonna do it, and then you're like, nah. That's like a chick saying, "Pull my hair," and then you're like, oh, "I don't want to pull your hair." I was gonna, and then you said to do
now
it.
Now it's weird.
Now it's weird. Oh, spank me. Well, not anymore. Great. Which camp counselor spanked her that she asked for it? All right. As you can see, I'm getting lit from drinking out of this handsome Brainstorm Brewery drinking glass. One of these could be yours if you were to sign up for our Patreon by going to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and giving us your money for as little as $1 per month, not per episode, per month, which is 20 or 25 cents an episode, which is just way too cheap. You can have access to our Discord server where you can post your bad beat stories and we'll make fun of you for being a moron. So it's true. We're about to poop all over a dude here in a minute. As soon as we get done with the Patreon pitch, if you want to support us for $0, you can go over to YouTube and just click subscribe and finger blast the bell icon to get the notification when our new video goes up, because we're better to watch than listen to, I would think. And I don't know, if you want to support us for more than $1 or $0, you could be like Rob and become a $40 patron, and then you can buy your way onto the podcast. But there's everything in between, from Discord access to being on the podcast. There's tokens, and you can get playmats, and Corbin will take a picture of his butt and sign it and send it to you, probably. That's probably one of the tiers, right? $15?
Well, you don't know, so that's as good a guess as any for you.
Yeah, Corbin butt pick tier, $15. So, you know, there's all kind of stuff. Anything you want, just tell us. Just be like, hey, I want to give you $30 a month, and I want Jason to call me a moron on my voicemail. I'll do that. So make your own tier. Who cares? Go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and support an independent podcast that's just trying to make it out here on the mean streets of magic content. We're not affiliated with any website. We're just trying to scratch out a living. And here you guys are like, you know what? I'm going to give you a small amount of money. And you know what? We're all about that. So give us a dollar. Have access to our Discord server, and we'll make fun of Corbin together.
All right. Yeah. Well done, Jason. Yeah,
don't be anyway, poor. So buy your way onto the podcast.
I had to go check because Jason said, because it was full, but he is right. There actually is one spot open to buy your way onto the podcast.
That's what Rob did. And like,
yeah,
hanging out with me in real life a decade ago didn't get him shit. He had to buy his way on just like anybody else.
It's particularly ironic because hanging out with a member of the podcast in the past is exactly what got Jason onto the podcast in the first place.
I am this podcast.
It's not even an insult. It's just like the actual statement. Like, it's just what happened.
I mean, yeah, I was just hanging out with
Ryan. Was Jason's little protege.
Yeah, and then I surpassed him. It's a good thing I did, because you guys wouldn't have made it 20 episodes without me.
So the irony of this all is that there's a reason there's an open spot at the top tier, is because we created a cryptocurrency channel in the Discord to talk about crypto, because we were blowing up the other topics section with it, and one of our users goes, guys, I just can't miss this wave. I'm selling all my magic cards, lowering my Patreon.
And he had like actual stuff too. It was like a legacy player who had like Goyfs and duels and lion's eyes and just like all the good stuff too.
Yeah. And it's like late December, and he's like, I gotta put it all in crypto, and then crypto crashed 2 weeks later.
He lost all of his money.
No, he didn't. It's back up. I'm sure he's
making that solar money though.
Crypto.
He's doing fine on solar. Is what
I know. We're not gonna go deep into this, because the only thing more annoying than hearing people talk about crypto is people talking about, I don't know, being vegans or whatever it is that people do. Yeah, let's just move on.
How do you know somebody has money tied up in cryptocurrency? Wait 15 minutes and they'll tell you.
Yeah, I think the best joke I saw about it was it was like a vegan, someone with crypto, and then some
other. And a CrossFitter?
Yeah, like a CrossFitter walk into a bar. Which one? What's the first one you hear about, or something along those lines?
Anyway, wow, you sound like you
good
know
joke, Corbin.
Well.
You nailed the execution.
Hey, I didn't say I was trying to say the joke. I was just alluding to the funny.
I was just trying to describe the joke without telling it. Yes. You're a cartoon. What kind of person does that? Hey guys, you hear the one about the rabbi, the priest, and the Baptist minister? It's pretty funny.
Anyways, so we have one other Patreon-related announcement. If we hit I don't even remember. I feel like we talked about this a few months ago and then didn't actually follow up with it.
1,500?
15.
Is it 1,500? Is that what you said?
15.
If we hit 1,500 on the Patreon, we will do the one chip challenge. We will pay a bunch of money to have very hot chips.
And they are very expensive because the people let them sell out to like make an artificial scarcity. Yeah. And the chips are like $80 on eBay or something stupid.
Yeah,
like
like hashtag one chip finance or something. But DJ has said, quote, he will die. And I don't know. I kind of want to watch that happen.
I want to see him die.
These are just the habanero flavored ones, right?
No. It's the,
or ghost pepper?
It's the Scotch Bonnet.
Oh, well, yeah.
But just, it's like Scotch Bonnet dust. It's like,
I'll make
it's
it
like
for
a million
you
Scoville or something.
That's my day job. Like, I can make you potato chips.
is this true? Can we hashtag chip finance our way into a discount here?
I you know what? As much as I want to poop on it, like, everything that Rob has made has turned out really good. Rob will make
chocolate
covered strawberries that will make your girlfriend try anal. Like, he's a he's a master.
Say, man, come on.
What?
For the record, it never got me anywhere. But like,
no. We'd have to have a girlfriend.
Come on.
Rob is responsible for the best quote I've ever heard in my life. The best breakup quote, which is, just because I trivialize everything that's important to you doesn't mean that I don't care.
Oh my God, I forgot that I said that.
I never forgot that.
No, you that's the best. I can't.
I have
imagine.
That tattooed on my bicep.
Oh man. Jason's wife just has to be so mean to him.
She's probably put up with enough of it. That...
Jason probably. I know, Jason. He doesn't. This is not Jason on the podcast, and then Jason in real life is different. Jason would say all this stuff to his wife. She just has to be so mean to you.
Oh,
return.
No. I can attest that he is absolutely no different in real life.
Yeah. Oh,
my wife has developed a thick callus over her feelings.
Nothing important, really.
She gives it right back. It's fine. She, I will say a joke on stage and someone's like, it's really disgusting that you would say something like that as a married man. I'm like, my wife wrote that punchline, but okay. Didn't have the C word in that joke until she got to it, but okay.
All right. Anyway, so back to where this actually started, like five tangents ago.
Hey, this is good radio, man. We're letting the conversation flow naturally.
And then somebody in the Discord had this to say. They were very sad because
we should name him. We should definitely name and
shame
this.
All right, DJ, I know you're on top of this. Address.
Now, it was EDH rec writer Dana Roach.
Oh. Well, yeah. Okay, DJ, where's he work?
Where's he work? Yeah, DJ, tell us his email address by accident.
What's the name of what's his mother's maiden name? DJ, go.
That's
what you do.
Man, if we were trying to steal his identity, that would be good to know, probably. Well, he's one of the most talented writers over at EDH Rec. He writes a column where he's like, hey, why are 1,500 of you playing cancel in your EDH deck? Stop it. Play something better.
Wait,
which I think
is a
really
thing?
Yeah, that's a really worthwhile column. He's like, why are you playing naturalized? Stop it.
That actually sounds awesome.
So he just like lists all the cards that are way better to be running.
I'm going to EDH Rec right now. I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. Well,
wow, that's
okay, cool.
One whole
thanks
click,
for
I'm
that,
sure.
So.
You're welcome.
Appreciates it.
Yeah, so while he's good at writing that column, he got a little complacent, I think, and some bad stuff happened to him this week. Who wants to take this one?
I
thought somebody was like had like what he posted in the
I don't
Discord
have it pulled up. I mean, I was just going
to, I mean, yeah, I don't have.
Okay.
The
so
right
yada,
now.
Yada, yada. He found a bunch of gushes and he's like, oh, this is found money. I'm going to send this to Card Kingdom, and Card Kingdom got an empty envelope. And I guess mail thieves have, you know, recognized, hey, this is going to Card Kingdom and they know it's cards in there. So Card Kingdom got a slit open envelope that was completely empty. And they're like, there's no $200 worth of buy list stuff in here. It's an empty envelope. And he just does not get the money. And he's sad. Everyone's sort of like, hey, open up a case with the postal service, and I guess that's all you can do, but...
you can't do that if you don't get insurance. You have to actually purchase
it. You don't. He doesn't really have any recourse, and he's out the money, and this is a real thing because, hey, someone saw a package was going to Card Kingdom, they cut open the package and stole the cards out. So, is this just a thing that happens if you sell to Card Kingdom or Trollin' Toad or a known buy list with, like, a known address? Thieves are targeting this in the mail. Is this just a thing that happens randomly and we have to eat it, or do we have something we can do about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is worth talking about, just, one, because it's a funny story. You know, laugh at someone else's pain. But also, I mean, is it worth it, right? Because if it's a $200 order and you're shipping it and you're buying insurance, you know, think about whatever, you have to keep in mind what that insurance costs versus what are the actual odds of this mail theft happening. So, I mean, do you guys, now if I send a large order, I get insurance on it, but I sent Card Kingdom like $250 worth of cards like a week and a half ago. And I guess I haven't seen a check in the mail or checked my emails. So I guess I don't actually know if I got mail thefted as well, but I mean, I didn't insure that one. Yeah, man. Mail thieved.
Mail thefted.
Mail thievered. Would you like me to continue? Mail pilfered. Mail swindled. Mail hornswoggled.
That's a good one.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. I'll get that one. Well, Corbin spent a lot of his college days swoggling mail horns.
Sure. Yeah. But, I mean, point being, I did not insure it either, simply because it wasn't for that much.
Well, yeah, so tracking actually costs... Tracking is separate than getting insurance. You have to buy insurance separately because tracking is like $2.66 minimum if you get it via paypal.com/shipnow. But you have to actually purchase purchase insurance separately through Priority. So paying for Priority shipping gets you $50 worth of insurance minimum, but just buying tracking doesn't guarantee you that the package will arrive there at any specific date. It's just sort of...
Right, yeah. There's a big difference, I think, between you know, somebody sending out 20, $150 orders over the course of a year, you know, eating the cost of it, versus somebody who is doing it on the side and is giving a dollar to the Patreon, getting in the Discord, and really trying to dip their toes into it. And then you get blown out for $250, and it was something you put a lot of work into. And then, yeah, that sucks.
And that represents, like, all of your investment that you were going to flip over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the ratio of what you... Yeah. If you ship, like, $30 or $40 a month, or $30 or $40, like, orders a month, then it's different than if you just ship one single order a month. For sure.
That's... Now, priorities, it's like up to $50 or $75.
I think it's $50 insurance if you ship with Priority.
Yeah. It's $50. So it's like,
I always just actually go to the post office to mail my stuff and buy my bubble mailers there, which I'm sure is not
buy your bubble mailers at the post office.
I don't send stuff out very often. And when I do, it's in big orders.
And when I do, it's
in bulk.
Well, who's sending out? If you're not selling on TCG Player, if you're just doing.
Yeah,
I mostly buy lists, so I'm sending stuff out in like.
Yeah,
you know, 1K boxes jammed into
exactly.
Like a flat rate box. I'm
yeah,
not,
it's just like
singing out in bubble mail is like a pour.
Yeah,
but when
well,
I did,
I
definitely bought in bulk on Amazon.
Well, whatever. I do like probably a dozen buy list orders a year max, and at the end of the day, it just doesn't. Whatever. If I'm out an extra $10, I don't care. It's just, I mean, I probably should get them at home, but I use different sized ones depending on how big the order is, etc. Right. So it's not like I could even just buy them in bulk because I would literally not even use them all. But regardless, I mean, if you're, it all, again, it comes down to scale. Like for me, it's, I don't care. I'll just pay the extra $2 there to get my bubble mailer and ship it when I have the size, the one I want. And it's fine. But for other people, maybe makes like you sending on TCG Player makes more sense to buy in bulk, and that's fine. And basically that's what shipping insurance comes down to as well. But it is worth noting when you're at the post office, and I'm not an expert on the different ways to send through USPS, but there is the one that comes with
that's
at least
Priority.
$50 of insurance as part of it. So that's, I mean, not the worst idea.
Priority gets you $50 worth of insurance.
Now, is that more expensive than...
Yeah, so the cheapest you can get tracking is with paypal.com/shipnow, which is $2.66.
Okay. Well, for instance, though, what's the difference in between priority and first class in terms of price to send?
First class is $2.66, and then priority is going to be, like, dependent on the weight, but you can always just ship it with registered mail, which is the most expensive one.
Whoa, for first class and a bubble mailer?
First class and a bubble mailer.
For one card and a top loader, I sent it in a plain white envelope for 55
Yeah, but you don't get tracking with that.
First class stamp is.
That's not including tracking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
The cheapest you will get shipping an actual regular Magic card out is 50 cents.
So it's like $2.66
is
for first class.
For paypal.com/shipnow. And priority is entirely separate based on the weight and, like, just... You don't usually need to ship, like, a regular Magic card with priority with insurance because... Even insurance just doesn't guarantee that you'll actually get the money.
Right. Yeah. But for instance, and you know, this was like a $150 order or something he sent in, right? So if you, I mean, you can recoup $50 of that at least, I suppose, if you were to take that option. So, and again, I don't know. Do we know the actual rate of lost mail or stolen mail? It's absurdly low, right?
It's like it's like 2 or 3%.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Which means. Yeah, it's probably just...
It depends on the holidays. Like, December is higher, but...
It's a real bad day when it happens to you.
Yes, yeah. 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 Now, do either of you have any experience with actually working through a case with insurance where you insured something and it was lost?
I've had a... Like,
the most I've ever seen lost and had to open a case for was when I worked at a lab, we had... $250,000 of radioactive test material gets sent to the wrong. They got sent to the Michigan's Upper Peninsula because the post office or the UPS transposed the last two digits of the zip code, and sure, It was radioactive. So by the time we would have gotten it 3 days later, we wouldn't have been able to dose it. So we just like lost $250,000, and the sponsor was mad, and then. UPS had to eat that $250,000, and it was pretty awesome. So that's the worst I've ever seen anything go. So like, it kind of puts your Magic cards into perspective.
Well, I've heard that it's actually difficult to get a case.
Yeah, you have to fight tooth and nail with USPS to actually get anything. I mean, I've only had to submit like 2-3 cases.
Yeah, ever. See, that's the other issue is you have to keep in mind. I mean, it's probably pretty easy if it gets slid or whatever, I think. But I've had cards come back damaged before where they just, like, the package just got shredded or something, and you just kind of...
And they have the little bag that says we care.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not always screwed. I've won a couple of the cases with damaged stuff, but it took forever.
Yeah, yeah, they drag it out as long as possible to avoid paying you.
Yeah, to try to make you, till you don't care.
But that anymore. Was 1%. That was 1% of my selling. You know, I sold... top loader in a plain white envelope thousands of times, and it was less than 1% of cases.
Yeah,
where
UPS,
it was even
UPS
a deal
is good for sure. I mean, I'm not saying
UPS
it's,
is
USPS
is
much better
than UPS. I have a strong vendetta against UPS.
What can Brown do for you?
What I was saying is
Brown
can
go fuck itself.
When we're talking about is it worth it to buy insurance, you also have to keep in mind it, even if it goes bad, you are not even 100% to have that insurance be applied. So
hey, Dana, I know we're ragging on you for not getting insurance, but man, you weren't totally guaranteed to not get blown out had you gotten the insurance. So we're just going to have a laugh at your expense. So suck it, nerd.
All right. So let's move on to the other big-ish Wizards announcement, I guess, depending on how much you care about this. Our show notes say Battle Bond. That's what it's called.
No,
right?
No. Our show notes say Battle Bond in all caps with 3 exclamation points and then a 1 and then O-N-E written out because...
They do not. It actually says...
You forgot to hold down the shift key.
It says, quote, Battle Bond, 2HG bullshit. That's what it says.
So that is hype.
Is anyone... I don't know anything about this. Do we care about Battle Bond? Is this cool?
Yeah.
Is this awesome?
Not financially, but like 2-headed giant.
Yeah, right? There could be some actual EDH relevant stuff. Plus,
oh, they're definitely going to stock it with, you know, Eternal goodies and Commander goodies, just like
this
they have
is
the previous.
This
one.
Is the hey, where can they reprint this? And then right. They're just coming up with new ways to reprint crap. Good for them, you know. They might just. Does anybody know if Battle Bond's gonna have new cards? Because it doesn't
it does.
It's just conspiracy theory.
It's gonna have like 80 or so new cards.
58, 85, something like that.
Yeah, this is where they're gonna throw the commander reprints, like Burgeoning and Inquisition of Kozlik for Modern, like all those.
DJ, I gotta correct your pronunciation there. So you were brought on this podcast to replace Ryan Bichard, correct?
Is it Burgeoning? Is that what it?
I need you to say Burgundy.
Did I say it wrong?
just channel Ryan Bichard and pronounce it the way he would. What's that card?
Burgeoning?
No, you got it
you
correct.
Did. You messed it up.
You messed up.
You messed up. So could you, what's the one green mana enchantment that lets you play a land when they play a land?
Burgeoning? Burgeoning?
No. Burgunging. It's Burgunging. Ryan's been gone a week and we already miss him.
Yeah, the best part of Ryan is he'd always double down when he was super wrong too.
He's like, well, I've heard it both ways.
Yeah,
both sides have some bad pronunciations.
Yes. Bad pronunciation and fine people on both
there
sides.
There are some good land drops on both sides.
Anyway, so one of the interesting things from this announcement, and by the way, there are 85 new cards out of the 254. But this is this year's, quote, draft innovation set. So what's interesting to me from this is, you know, we had Conspiracy 2, we had Unstable, but we didn't, I don't think we ever knew that they actually have this slotted as not just a supplemental product slot, but actually a Draft Matters spot or screw with the game spot, in the way that Conspiracy and Unstable did. You know, I guess those things did change it, but it's interesting to see that it is specifically targeted at changing the drafting experience. It's not supplemental set.
Unfortunately, if these new cards, these 85 or 58 or whatever new cards are EDH specific, this is not going to be Cube relevant, which is unfortunate because Cube ate up a lot of that Conspiracy crap that EDH couldn't.
Well, they actually say, I mean, it says many of the cards in the set are designed specifically for formats like Commander, Cube, and Legacy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's sweet.
To me, it's definitely going to be a lot of just, I mean, because 2 out of Giant Cubes, I guess, are probably a thing.
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody
having a
2 out
of Giant
Cube.
And so on. We'll see. The real question to me is, do people care about 2-headed Giant specifically?
Only, well, they would if it were supported.
To make a set around it, and then it was just, they gave one mechanic called Surge at Oath of the Gatewatch, and they're like, this is a 2-headed Giant set.
It definitely felt like the most random thing. It actually felt like just the dartboard approach to set design. Like, is this set going to be about?
But then was there like, oh, we tried. Ooh,
yeah,
we
it was
didn't
a
roll
weird
out any
sealed environment.
If one player other than you cast
yeah, it's
a
just
spell,
so, it was just so random.
If your teammate.
People, like, you were also dealing with Battle for Zendikar. It just wasn't good.
And that was also the set where they introduced colorless mana.
Purple
like,
mana.
Like, why would you possibly need another thing?
Stop making purple mana.
There's too many things. Why
BFC
so many
block
things?
Was just so bad. Oh, man. Yeah. It's just so disappointing. It was just so bad. And it really soured the return to Innistrad, which I thought was actually pretty good, and I loved Eldritch Moon. But BFC was so bad, people were just like, God, now they're going to ruin Innistrad.
Yeah, so I think if like 2-headed Giant were actually supported, yeah, people would like it. It's a great format.
Okay.
And it's great to... excuse me. It's great to bring your friend who's new to Magic along. You know,
that's true.
It's great to bring your significant other who might not play Magic and like get them to play Magic. It's good. One player can carry the team, so you can play with anybody. You know,
yeah, I also think it's a lot better sealed than it is draft. I don't.
No, 2-headed Giant. I like 2-headed Giant draft because you take two picks, and there's sometimes you get those packs where you're like, there are two cards in here I want, and then the next pack has nothing. So when you're two at a giant drafting, you get that good pack. All of a sudden, you're like, yeah, I'll take those. So it's a different draft format, and it's takes some practice. And some people are good at it, and some people just haven't practiced. So it's just a new thing. It's a twist on Magic, and I like twists on Magic. You know, I sure. like so.
Not to go forth us though, the setting is ridiculous, but
it's called like it's something some weird unpronounceable world. I know that. All right. Well, I guess we'll see what happens with it. At the very least, it'll be a good avenue for reprints. Are there any two-headed giant cards now that are financially relevant with this coming out? Sure. But, I mean, are there if we assume that this maybe leads people to building cubes of two-headed giant more or something, like, are there any foils? I don't know anything about two-headed giant. That's why I'm asking.
It's mostly – two-headed giant's mostly a limited format, so not really.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Gutter Snipe?
Oh, yeah, all the hangers.
Siphon Mage.
Slivers, yeah.
Yeah, just there's all kind of stuff. Like, I realized how good Deathrite Shaman was in Two-Headed Giant when we were getting drained for four turn.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Hey, that's a one drop that's charring us? Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Deathrite Shaman, totally fair card. Can't wait for it to be banned in Legacy. All right, moving on. All right, so let's do Picks of the Week. Who wants to go first?
Pick of the Week, Pick of the Week, Pick of the Week. Time for the Pick of the Week.
My Pick of the Week is going to be Grave Scrabbler from Future Sight. It is a 31-cent card, and it has spiked a little bit from, like, 10 cents to 60 cents for a brief minute, but it went back down. I think this has a little bit of potential in the black-red hollow one decks. I mean, they're not playing it now, but I think that there's potential to play this card in the future just because hollow one is a relatively recent shell. I like call the Necro World too, or Nether World or whatever that card is at 75 cents or so, but this is just a card, I think, that hasn't been used yet in a shell, and it could be a bottleneck for the deck in itself, just because if a version of Hollow One ends up being played where this is used in it as like a two or a three or a four of, this is the card that's going to dry up in supply first. So people will buy up their Hollow Ones, that's from Hour of Devastation, it's got a ton of supply. People will, like, Faithless Lootings will go up a little bit, but stuff like Burning Inquiry and Goblin Lore already spiked, but this is a card that, if it sees a little bit more play, could definitely see a price increase from, like, the 25, 30 cents it's at now up to, like, a dollar or two, maybe even three if it sees a good amount of play. So it's not something I'd go out and spend a bunch of money on, but if you are finding them in bulk, then I would definitely hold off on buylisting them, because I know Card Kingdom's paying like 15, 20 cents or so. This is a card I don't want to buylist just because it's old, it's obscure, it has theoretical potential to see play in a deck that recently did well at the Pro Tours. So that's my logic.
I've got one that's also kind of from Future Sight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Grove of the Burn Willows. I don't know if it's going to be long-term, but all of the Modern decks this weekend that there were a couple of Breakout Modern decks, or there was a...
Yeah, there's like Eldrazi.
That Eldrazi right? deck this weekend, and I mean, it is at peak supply. It is as low as I think it's going to ever be, at least for what is out there. And I think it's going to start to go back up based on what
When did
I've seen.
That get reprinted? Was that Iconic?
Or it's
was
17. Iconic. Or 2017? No, yeah, Iconic. So like yeah. the Iconic supply is still out there, but I mean, I don't know how much more.
Who's paying
go down.
$12 for a booster pack at this point? I have an Iconic Masters pick too, dude. I think that's fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, if it sees any play post Jace, I mean, great.
Well, it's hard. Yeah, that's the issue, right? Is because if it does continue to, you know, if it does see play, it definitely is in a position to grow in theory. On the other hand, it's one of those cards that was only expensive because supply was so low and might not actually get played. We don't know. You know, it's certainly going to, I mean, it's a great pick if Punishing Fire ever gets unbanned, but I don't think that's.
No, it's, oh, no, in, it's insane.
Never,
if
Punishing Fire that would, will never get unbanned.
It, you really shouldn't, but. All right. I'll jump in next. I've got a Jace related card that hasn't spiked yet. And I think it's got a lot going for it. Temporal Mastery. Take an extra turn after this one.
Because you can just brainstorm that on top with Jace.
Yep. And I'm seeing what people have been doing.
I saw Pat Chapin set up Aetherworks Marvel. I'm seeing people set up Terminus and Treat the Angels. So, yeah, Temporal Mastery seems
good. And the thing is, I actually played online. I've played against a few people Temporal Mastering with Jace. It's just pretty bad, to be honest. Like, it's basically just an explore in the decks. I guess the idea, it's good if you have Jace and you can get going to it, but it's just really clunky. So I don't actually think it's great in Modern, but what I do think is that...
I don't think that matters.
Exactly. Right? Well, it doesn't matter for this reason. The hype is going to drive it up, and then the price is going to hold because it's a mythic from Avazyn Restored that says take an extra turn. That's what matters.
And it's one of the good... Because there's so many take an extra turn cards that are terrible.
Right, and it's like, depressed right now because...
Traverse the Water Veil or whatever. Yeah, and like the, did you 35 mana one with Delve. And...
yeah.
It's, there was also that weird taking turns deck, that the As Foretold taking turns deck. That deck
Whether you play As Foretold or not, that deck is very, very good. We were going to play it for Team Modern Super League because I've played a lot of turns, and it's probably Jace is probably great in that deck. That deck is very real in Modern. I think
if you can take every turn, Jace would be amazing because you're like, well, I'm just going
to. Well, the thing is, Jace also bridges you perfectly to. Like the turn five where you start taking turns, even if you just brainstorm and they kill it, that's a perfectly useful turn four for the taking turns deck. The fact that deck is broken on Magic Online right now because exhaustion is bugged is why I couldn't play it in Team Modern Super League.
Exhaustion is bugged? What is it?
Just doesn't do never untap? It just doesn't do anything.
Oh, what?
I was actually pretty tilted because... if you don't know, I'm on Team Modern Super League and I won. We
beat
pros.
God.
Man, shut up.
Tell us more.
The point is,
he played well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Were carried.
Sure. Two of the decks that I went 1-1 and I lost to an unwinnable matchup. That's fine. Two of the decks I wanted to play had bug cards in them. I wanted to play Mono Blue Taking Turns and Exhaustion's bugged. And I wanted to play my Emrakul deck and Pollen Lullaby and Colony Garden are bugged. Which is super.
What does Colony Garden do?
It makes it 0/1 plant. And it comes into play tap. And it's important in the deck because you go fetch it up with your Primeval Titan and so on. And it gives you a blocker or it gives you a third attacker for Windrust Kites. Instead, it makes a defender. So that's pretty stupid.
Colony Garden's supposed to make a 0/1 plant that doesn't have defender.
Correct. And instead,
ask me how I know because I play it in EDH with Beastmaster Ascension. I've definitely killed people with that plant.
Yeah, exactly. So, but instead it makes a defender. But also, Pollen Lullaby is bugged, which is a scry. It's a clash.
No, it's clash, right?
Yeah.
The clash, their creatures don't attack.
Their creatures don't untap, and it fogs for 2 mana. And it's really good in that deck because you play a bunch of expensive cards. And it functions as a scry because you often just need one more turn to find the piece to win or whatever. But it also just, their creature's still on tap and you can't put the card on the bottom.
So are you saying Pollen Lullaby is like a breaking bulk from if that deck ever gets good?
No, it's just my
spice. The deck will never get good.
The deck is too inconsistent. Unless they print something to make Hideaways better. But the deck is too inconsistent right now. It is very good. I mean, it's like a deck I've won. I've gone 4-0 at FNM with it multiple times. Like, it's a good deck, but it's not a
good
deck. Wow,
so it's Oklahoma good.
No, I mean, it's just, like, it's an FNM deck. You can run well for 4 or 5 rounds, but you're not going to run well for 15. Because eventually you just start hitting.
Oh, God, can you imagine playing taking turns for 15? It's like, oh, we went to time again. Good.
Oh, no. Well, I'm talking about
Gamer Cool deck. I guess
taking
I'll wear turns, a diaper.
Taking turns with Jace ends the game.
Yeah, taking turns is top 8-ed a Modern GP, and it top 32'd, I believe, Toronto last week.
Oh, man.
It's very good. And I don't have
I just seem it seems like it would just be, like, just grueling.
I don't think
so. Because, like, yeah, there are people that are just like, well, I would play Mono Blue Control at this tournament, but I just
But that's not
I
what
can't.
The deck... It's not Mono Blue Control.
No,
it's,
I get... Thank yeah. you. Okay. I get it, but like it seems grueling to me a little bit.
I guess
demonstrating you can take a lot of turns, they will just F5.
No,
probably.
they almost never scoop or F6, but it doesn't usually matter. Like the deck is not that difficult to play in that like basically you want to you can trip for a few turns, you play Search for Azkanta, you Cryptic Command them, you start taking a bunch of turns. And you it's hard. My build, it's very hard to whiff once you start going off. I sacrifice a little bit of early game interaction for the ability to just hit turn five and win the game. It's actually not that grueling to play, in my opinion. And you get to play Giga Drowse, which is just a free win card against a lot of decks. Like, they definitely have 16 after you Giga Drowse all their mana. So,
neat.
So I don't think it's actually that bad to play for 15 rounds.
You've been talking for like a half hour and I don't even remember what your pick of the week was.
Pick is Temporal Mastery, and it is starting to move all up. Right. So I think probably going to settle like 7 or 8 at a minimum and could go higher.
We're like stalling, like DJ's going to come back, but I think his computer broke. he's playing too much Pokemon in the background and it like crashed his CPU.
I even texted him and said, "Hey bro, you died," and he hasn't responded. So like maybe his house just like blew up.
Which is fine. Like, I'm fine with that. We can replace DJ in 15 minutes. Like, we'll get a $40 patron or Jim Casale. Or like, it'll be fine. Like, if he's dead, no big deal. But, like, I don't want to lose our recording.
I'm here, guys. So I can play hooky every week.
Oh, great. All right, let's get the next pick of the week in here.
I got one. Do you want to guess?
No.
It's a card from Iconic Masters, and it's white.
Entreat the Angels.
You're correct. It is Austere Command. Austere Command's at its floor, and guess what? Austere Command is very good. It's one of the top 100 played cards. It's actually the 15th most played card on EDH Rec. So when you see something like that that's that good, it's in the top 15 played cards, it's in 13% of all 110,000 white decks. So
I'll be honest, that's pretty good. That's a really good pick, because also the market price on this is the same price as the median.
Yeah.
And it started just ever so slightly to climb from the low. So I actually think you're right. That's a very good pick.
Iconic Master stuff is kind of just hitting its floor right now. And I think just pick one. Pick an Iconic Masters card that's just like, well, we're a peak supply right now. No one's interested in paying $13 or whatever for a pack of Iconic Masters.
Well,
at this
I would
point.
Say specifically pick one that actually has strong commander play, because.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So
a lot of
sure.
these cards are kind of. There's a lot of it out there still, I think. But Sarah Ascendant's probably a really good one, too.
Yeah. What's that? The demon that like tutors when it comes into play.
Oh, Runescarred? Yeah, Runescarred
demon. Yeah. A lot of the stuff that is like, if I rhyme Bichard, I'd be like, Iconic Masters is my pick of the week. But like, yeah.
it kind of is. Yeah, it's solid, actually.
Everything is very low.
Yeah, so if you got some money, like, you could be like, whoa, what am I going to pick up from all these other sets?
Consecrated Sphinx.
Yeah, buy stuff that's at its floor. Consecrated Sphinx is an EDH staple. That card's so good. So all this stuff in Iconic Masters is just about people who are like, they're not busting the packs anymore. So the prices are just going to go up because there's no supply backfilling the demand. And the demand is, it's there. Anything that's played, anything that's in the top 100 cards in its color on EDH Rec has got that demand. Or it's, you know, for another format and you use whatever metric you determine playability in those other formats. And let's be honest, there's 100 cards that matter in Modern, and you know what they are. So if it's one of those, sure. But EDH, you gotta do a little more research if you don't understand that format. So just pick a card that gets played, has demand, and then just know that there is not more supply forthcoming. Iconic Masters is basically as opened as it's gonna get, and the prices are starting to recover. So my pick specifically is Austere Command, but I would keep an eye on everything else.
Yeah, good call. Good call. All right. Well, I think we've reached the end. We made it without DJ. Life goes on.
we do entire episodes without Corbin. I think we can survive without DJ for 10 minutes.
Rob, thanks for coming on, man. Is there anything you want to shout out or let people know where they can find you before we go?
No, it's pretty impossible to find me. Okay. I've got none of the social medias. It's
true. I haven't talked to Rob in like seven years.
I disappeared into a food service hellhole. So, and that's, you know, kind of where I am.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well,
thanks for taking my money and, letting me be here.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And you know what? You were definitely the best guest on the podcast this week. That's for sure.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, because my mic didn't cut out and I didn't disappear halfway through.
You didn't disappear, yeah.
That's a pretty high bar.
It's a low bar, but you cleared it, so that's right. The important thing. Just because we trivialized your participation doesn't mean we don't care.
I should probably get that tattooed on my forearm.
Yep, there you go. All right, well, there you go, everybody. See you next week. This is Brainstorm Brewery. Remember to check out the Patreon and make DJ eat a really hot, spicy chip. And Data, I read your column. It was actually pretty awesome. I like it.
Yep, definitely go to YouTube and finger blast that bell icon and like and subscribe and do all that stuff on YouTube because you can see our weird faces. And keep listening to us on your podcast app and give us your money. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will have a big poop-related announcement in the next month, maybe.
Hopefully.
Right, they're stringing us along like we're the binder twine between the tin cans that DJ used to connect to the podcast.
That is true. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.